Today I'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. We're reading from the parable chapter, and today we're going to be looking at two of Jesus' other parables on the kingdom of God, verses 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Well, today I'm wearing something that I don't typically wear a lot, but maybe you can notice. Maybe you'll notice it. You see the ring that I have on my finger? I don't often wear a ring, but this ring is special because my father gave it to me some years ago. My father's now deceased, so those of you that have parents that have passed on, that have given you things, you know how you treasure them. This ring was found by my father. He was, I think he told the story, it went something like this. He went into a gas station one day, and he went to the restroom. And there, laying on the sink, were two golden rings. This one plus another one. And he was shocked to find them, so he, you know, went and they tried to find the owner of the rings. I don't know how hard they tried. But he ended up with them, nonetheless. One he gave to me, the other he gave to my brother. And this one is a diamond ring. It has a diamond in it. And the other one was a gold, one of the gold nugget rings. And so I have treasured this ring for many years. And it has been special to me. And, you know, I've always dreamt of finding treasure somewhere like that. And over the years, I have visited estate sales and gone to flea markets in hope of finding that million-dollar item that's been lost to history. Maybe some famous painting by someone or some other treasure. You never know what kind of treasure is out there waiting to be found. And so we keep looking for it. Well, the people in Jesus' day had a similar fascination with treasure, too. They loved great treasure hunting stories. And so the rabbi that Jesus grew up listening to would tell treasure stories when teaching children, and they always went the same way. First, you buy a field. Second, you work hard plowing your field. And finally, if you're lucky enough, you just might find some treasure hidden in that field. So the lesson of these stories was always the same. Hard work will always be rewarded. When you work hard, good things will happen in your life. And that was the general wisdom that the rabbis taught the children. Now Jesus turns the traditional version of this story on its head. Here's the way that Jesus tells the story in the parable that we read a moment ago. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And we're like, okay, all right. I hear you, Jesus. Good so far. And then he continues the story, which someone found and hid. Then in his he goes and sells everything he has and goes and buys that field. Now, wait a minute. That's not how the story is supposed to go, Jesus. You've gotten it mixed up. First, you buy the field, then you work hard, and maybe, just maybe, you'll find a treasure in it. Well, Jesus' version says that the man first discovers the treasure, Then he buys the field. And then third, he doesn't work at all. He just enjoys that treasure. Now, this story was an affront to the people who were brought up in church, so to speak. The treasure is supposed to come at the end of a long journey of struggle and toil after a life of hard work. We are taught our whole lives that hard work is what produces reward in our life. You don't get anything unless you work hard for it. The point that Jesus seems to be making is this. In God's kingdom, grace doesn't work that way. The good news of the gospel says you don't have to work your whole life to earn what God has freely given to us. This message was so contrary to the common wisdom and the religious teaching, both then and now. The people were offended by it. Jesus said in the Gospel of John that I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. You see, God offers us the greatest treasure we could ever possess. And he gives it to us as grace, a free gift. And discovering this treasure is the first step. It's not the last. It was the Apostle Paul who taught us that we're saved by grace and not by what? Works. You see, the grace comes first. But religion messes things up for us. Religion teaches us that if we do the right things and we follow all of the rules, then salvation will be our reward at the end of life. We'll get to go to heaven. Well, let me tell you that trusting Jesus is a hard thing because it has little to do with us and it has everything to do with grace. And that's hard for us to accept. Y'all, I want to tell you this morning, because nothing will ever be more important to us than knowing that our entire salvation from start to finish is by grace and not works. Now, how does this grace work? Grace tells us in 1 John chapter 4, the message there about grace is that God first loved us. You see, we are first loved by God before we are ever aware of God. You know, in our tradition, we call that prevenient grace, don't we? The grace that goes before us, leading us and drawing us to the knowledge and love of God. That grace, it continues to work. By grace, God has rescued us from death through the cross of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, we are saved. We are rescued. We are redeemed. We call that justifying grace. And then by grace, I am given now life. Not just life to come in the future, when we go to heaven, but Jesus gives us life. Grace imparts life to us now so that there is joy and peace in our living now. And that grace, it continues to give us life by transforming us into a new creation. Paul talked about that. And in our tradition, we call that sanctifying grace. You see, from beginning to end, until we're glorified in heaven with Jesus, it is all by God's grace. And what we're invited to do is to surrender to that grace. We're to yield to that work of grace. That's what we're called to do. You see, this treasure that our Heavenly Father gives us through Jesus Christ is an endless treasure that keeps on blessing us. It's like this ring that I wear. It always reminds me of my Father and His love for me. I can look at it every day. If I were to wear it every day, I could look at it. I can wear it. I can appreciate it. Its value to me is priceless. I would not sell it to you today for any amount of money. Well, maybe. But you get the point. Y'all, it's the same way with my Lord, with Jesus. He is our exceedingly great reward. He is our treasure. As Tommy was singing earlier, Jesus is the treasure that my heart seeks. He is my all in all. Jesus is the most valuable treasure that we could ever hold in our souls. And His beauty is unmatched. His riches towards us are endless. This is why we marvel at the cross. This is why we say, "Oh, the marvelous, wonderful cross." You see, Jesus keeps on blessing us. And His grace towards us, it never runs out. It will bring to completion our full and entire sanctification. That's why we sing, "Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Grace that is greater than what? Our sin." Thanks be to God for that treasure worth finding. Amen.